Red Letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Pencil sketched blue letters rotate onto screen. MPCA, Motion Picture Corporation of America.
Titles appear. Netflix presents Downtown Chicago, where the Chicago River is covered in cracked ice.
Wreaths adorn the Art Institute's bronze lion statues. Skaters enjoy an outdoor ice rink.
The Princess Switch.
Smiling shoppers carrying Christmas presents pass a sign affixed to a stone building. Stacy's Sweets Treats. Inside, a young woman hands a bag to a customer.
Merry Christmas, and come back soon.
Oh, I will. Your bakery's the best kept secret in Chicago.
Oh, well then I'm counting on you to spread the word. Take care. City Hall needs us by 5. How are you doing?
Ready when you are, boss.
And that is why Kevin Richards is the best sous chef in the business.
Stop. Okay, carry on.
Dad!
Hey, Pumpkin, how was dance?
Good, we did the Nutcracker. Hi, Stacy.
Are there any sugar cookies left for your favorite goddaughter?
Well, you are my only goddaughter. But for you, there will always be sugar cookies.
Aren't you going to tell her the news?
What news?
You know the Christmas baking contest you're always talking about?
Uh-huh.
The really fancy one at that Christmas festival in Belgravia that only the best pastry chefs in the entire world get invited to. And it's on TV.
Uh-huh.
Well, when you broke up with Paul, I wanted to cheer you up, so I sent in a photo and our recipe for the Christmas castle cake hand.
And?
Ta-da!
The young girl hands Stacy a red envelope.
At the behest of the royal family of Belgravia, the judging committee is pleased to invite you to compete in our 56th International Christmas Baking Competition.
Can you believe it?
They pay for everything.
When is it?
We leave Friday.
Kev, we can't just close up shop right before Christmas.
Turns out we can. Belgravia's like a fairy tale. You get to stay in a cottage and even have a handsome prince.
The invite shows a picture of Prince Edward.
Well, it is an honor just to be invited.
Hey, Liv, don't you need some milk with it, Cookie?
Sure, but just so we clear, I'm team. Let's go visit the handsome prince.
Could you be spontaneous for once in your life?
You know I'm not good at spontaneous.
This could put us on the map.
Maybe, but maybe not.
Come on, Stace. I mean, ever since you broke up with Paul, it's like you're scared to do anything different. You're planning your life down to the last minute.
Well, it's good to have a plan.
John Lennon once said that life's what happens when you're busy making other plans.
What, and you can't argue with a Beatle?
No.
An event like this would be a lot of work.
They're giving us the entire afternoon to prep the kitchen and 2 days to relax and go sightseeing.
Well, maybe if they gave us more notice.
Stace, come on. It's not good to stay at home at Christmas alone and feel sorry for yourself.
But Paul and I were together for 3 years. Christmas was a really special time for us.
Maybe it's time to move on?
I am just not ready to.
Patting his arm, Stacy gives Kevin a firm smile, then walks away, leaving him watching her with a look of disappointment. Walking along a sidewalk, sporting a baseball cap and bundled up in a winter coat and scarf, Stacy turns to watch a young couple as the man puts his arm around the woman's shoulders. Stacy walks on with a rueful look. Then she drops some money into a charity collection bucket.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Christmas sure is a magical time of year, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I just wish I had someone to spend it with.
Christmas wishes have been known to come true.
Her face suddenly brightens.
Excuse me.
She smooths her hair around her cap as she heads towards a dark-haired man she has seen come out of a shop.
Paul?
Stacy, hey.
Hey.
You know, I was thinking about you the other day.
Oh, well, you were?
Last Christmas, at Lodge in Vermont.
Yeah, that was pretty terrific. Hey, sweetie.
A woman with a blonde ponytail comes out of the shop and kisses Paul on the mouth. Stacy bites her lip.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Taylor. Stacy DeNovo. I'm sure Paul mentioned me. Actually, no, he didn't. Was he supposed to?
Stacy and I dated for a while.
Honey, if we're going to catch that train, we really better run. We're spending Christmas week with Paul's parents. Well, that sounds big. It is.
Do you have any plans for Christmas?
Yeah, big plans. Super huge.
Like what?
will be competing at a baking contest in Belgravia. No, in fact, I gotta go and start packing my big old suitcase right now. See ya. So much for Christmas wishes.
It isn't Christmas yet.
The flat-capped, white-haired charity collector smiles as she goes.
I guess we're going to Belgravia.
A jumbo jet takes off into a blue sky. A bird's-eye view of a snow-covered village nestled in a valley surrounded by mountains. A small prop plane lands on a runway. A compact red car drives along a road surrounded by snow and pine trees. The car comes down a snow-covered road and then arrives in a picturesque village. Christmas decorations adorn the alpine-style wooden houses. Stacy gets out of the car with an excited smile and pulls out her phone. Kevin unloads their luggage.
Wow, it's Clara's house from the Nutcracker.
Yeah? Well, if the Mouse King shows up, I'm out of here.
Their jaws drop as they come into the spacious house, complete with decorated tree and roaring fire.
Hey, can we stop in town? They have a huge North Pole Christmas fair with Santa, with elves, with everything. And maybe we could even get some stockings for the fireplace.
Well, we're supposed to be at Wembley at noon to prep the kitchen. Wouldn't it hurt to be a little early?
Please.
I mean, aren't you being a little, I don't know, neurotic?
I am being organized, okay? We have a schedule.
Let me see that. See? It says time to have fun.
Yeah.
Where?
Right there. An invisible ink.
Carolers entertain shoppers perusing a snowy market.
Stocking!
Olivia runs up to a market stall.
I've got some more over here.
The white-haired stallholder brings out more stockings. Stacy peers at the elderly gentleman.
I'm sorry, you look so familiar.
I've heard that before.
Well, you weren't in Chicago last week, were you?
How could I have been in Chicago?
They really go all out for Christmas here, huh?
It's in honor of the royal wedding. The prince is getting married to the Duchess of Montanaro on New Year's Day.
Is she pretty?
We haven't seen much of her. The Duchess is what you'd call camera shy. Doesn't allow her picture to be taken.
Well, maybe she's just a really private person.
If you want to get a look, you might still catch her. I heard she was touring the set for the royal baking competition.
Olivia spies a row of girls dressed in purple and white ballet outfits.
It's the Nutcracker.
That's the Children's Ballet Conservatory.
It would be so awesome to dance with them.
Maybe you can.
Really?
I hear they have a summer program.
Can we watch just for a little while? Please?
Kevin looks at Stacy.
5 minutes. Yes. You guys go ahead. I'll take care of this. One of each.
Are you people in a hurry?
I'm trying to get to Wembley a little early to set up for the competition. I'm one of the contestants.
Well, you know what they say. Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans.
That's the second time someone said that to me.
Maybe you need to hear it.
Right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, slow down! Would you watch where you're going?
Prince Edward looks up.
Who's yelling?
A tourist, sir.
Probably from the States.
Probably.
At the competition venue.
Piping bag, prep spoons, rolling pan, sifter, and saute pan. It is all here.
Alphabetize the equipment list?
Yeah, of course I did.
I don't like the handle on this one. Get a new one tomorrow?
Great. Stacy DeNovo. What a surprise. Brianna Michaels. Didn't know you were going to be here.
I won the competition last year.
Oh, well, congratulations.
And what are you making for your pièce de résistance? Cheetos à la mode?
Yeah, I like Cheetos.
And you are?
Kevin Richards. I work with Stacy.
Stacy and I went to the Cordon Bleu together.
Yeah, Brianna was really close to some of the faculty.
They knew I had talent.
Oh, yeah, like when you sauce Professor Kendall's berries?
Brianna spills her coffee on Stacy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me help you.
Thanks, I'm fine.
Enchanté.
She seemed
mean.
I better go clean up.
Stacy hurries across a back room area, looking down at her stained apron, and bumps into a woman in a smart pink suit.
I am so sorry.
No problem.
The two identical-looking women stare at each other wide-eyed, then turn to look at their reflections in a standing mirror.
Who are you?
Lady Margaret Delacourt, Duchess Montanaro.
Wait, you're the one who's marrying the prince?
Yes.
Oh, right, you're here for that tour. Look, I am really sorry for running into you. I'm usually not this messy, but I'm one of the contestants at the baking contest, and there was an accident in the kitchen. I'm sorry. I'm Stacy DeNovo, by the way. Nice to meet you.
Stacy bows awkwardly.
Oh.
Miss DeNovo, did you say you were a baker?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have my own shop in Chicago.
Well, as you know, I'm getting married, and I could really use an expert opinion on my wedding cake.
From me?
The royal pastry chef here has a way of doing things, and I'm not sure they're to my liking.
Well, when it comes to wedding cakes, the bride is always right.
Precisely. I know it's short notice, but would you join me at the palace for a consultation later on today?
A consultation? Wow. I would be so honored.
Well, shall we say in an hour or so?
An hour? Yeah, sure. I mean, I was gonna go sightseeing with my friends, but I'm sure they'll understand if I tell them.
Oh, no. You can't tell a soul about this. I wouldn't want to risk offending the king and queen. Right.
Of course not. My lips are sealed.
Brilliant.
Great. Do I need a bow or something before I go?
It really isn't necessary.
Great.
As Stacy goes, the elegant young Duchess walks off with a knowing smile. Back in the competition area.
I tested out the oven while you were gone, and it doesn't look like you had much luck with that stain.
Stain?
Your apron.
Right, my apron. You know, I think the best thing to do would be to just go buy a new one, so.
If you hang on a sec, I'll pack this stuff up and we can all go together.
No, what I mean is Olivia doesn't want to go shopping for some silly old apron.
Maybe you and I could watch some more of the ballet and you could ask how much the summer program costs.
Liv, you know we can never afford something like that.
Meet you back at the cottage in an hour. Deal?
Deal.
She leaves after doing her special hand-foot shake with Olivia, who looks soulfully up at her dad.
I really wish you and Stacy were a thing.
Stacy and I have been friends since high school. If sparks were gonna fly, we'd know by now.
Maybe you're just not trying hard enough.
She's my best friend, Liv. You know that. Besides, she's just a little too intense for someone like me.
People change.
Not that much.
Inside the turreted chateau-style palace, Stacy and Lady Margaret stand side by side.
It's uncanny.
Lady Margaret smiles up at her soberly dressed lady-in-waiting.
Do you think we could be related somehow?
Well, three generations ago, your great-grandmother's cousin Cecil fled the country after a dalliance with a vulgar American divorcee. It was rumored that Cecil settled in the United States. His daughter married a man named D'Onofrio, but the family's lost touch.
And D'Onofrio, DeNovo, could be.
Stacy. I think we were destined to run into each other, don't you?
I don't know about destined, but I am so happy to help you with your cake.
I do need a favor, but it has nothing to do with baked goods.
What kind of a favor?
Would you like some tea?
Sure.
I'm supposed to marry Prince Edward on New Year's Day. But I don't know anything about the people here, or what a normal life here, or anywhere's like.
So, you want me to teach you how to be normal?
No. I want to be you. I want to switch places with you.
Switch places?
I become you, and you become me. Get
out.
It would only be for 2 days. No one would even notice.
I'm kind of guessing your fiancé would notice.
Edward is leaving town tonight to meet with the Spanish ambassador. He won't be back until the day after tomorrow. So,
you wouldn't have to deal with him at all.
No, it doesn't sound like you're too excited about getting married.
My parents taught me that marriage is about duty, about alliances between nations. Now that they're gone, I'm not going to disappoint them.
So what, it's like an arranged marriage?
Edward and I met twice before we were engaged. It's not that he's unpleasant, he's just very formal.
Does he happen to have one of those fancy limousines?
I believe so. Why do you ask?
Not important.
Look, the only thing on my schedule is breakfast with the king and queen. You can spend the rest of your time relaxing right here. Please, if there's anything I could offer you, anything at all.
You wouldn't happen to know anyone at the Children's Ballet Conservatory, would you?
It's one of the royal charities.
So if an adorable 8-year-old ballerina wanted to do the summer program?
It would be my pleasure to sponsor her.
You really mean it?
Consider it done.
And I'd be back in time for the competition.
We would switch back at midnight the night before.
If you really think it would help you out.
So, you'll do it.
They say life's what's happening when you're busy making other plans.
Fabulous.
Okay, so.
Stacy's phone.
That is Chicago.
Wow.
There's my house.
Oh, so charming.
Oh, there is Kevin. Hmm. And little Olivia.
Oh, how precious.
There's the bakery.
Did you make that?
Yeah. Very impressive.
Well, thank you.
At an ornate dressing table, the lady in waiting puts down a pair of scissors and brushes down Stacy's shoulders as they and Lady Margaret all admire Stacy's freshly bobbed hair.
So the most important things to remember are obviously Edward.
Okay.
His father George and Caroline, his wife.
Yes.
Can't forget. Right. Let us take a closer look.
Stacy studies some family photos and then walks up and down the room. Margaret sat on a 4-poster bed, try slouching her shoulders and swaying from side to side. With a nervous shrug, she gets up to try Stacy's walk. The two young women change places and Stacy gives Margaret an encouraging smile, which rapidly fades as she watches Margaret's lame attempt at copying her slouching posture and bouncing walk.
Perfect, right?
All better.
Now what?
Now Stacy sits up straight as she observes Margaret's regal walk, head held high, hips swinging confidently, ending with a royal curtsy. A sudden look of doubt on her face, she stands up to try Margaret's regal walk, and Margaret covers her mouth in amusement. She laughs at Stacy's overly elaborate curtsy. Still giggling at one another, they switch cell phone cases and coo at each other's choice of case.
So cute.
Now dressed in Margaret's pink skirt twin set, complete with pearl necklace and earrings, Stacy sashays up to Mrs. Donatelli.
Almost there. One final finishing touch.
Sorry, I don't do hairspray.
You will learn to do hairspray.
What do you think? Stacy DeNovo, how's it hanging?
How's it hanging?
A bit much, is it?
Who is it?
Edward. May I come in?
Just one moment, if you please.
Do I really sound so Downton Abbey?
I don't know. I'm trying to like hide or something. Oh.
Margaret hands Stacy her engagement ring.
Just a minute.
Come on.
Mrs. Donatelli opens the door. The blonde-haired prince walks in with his hands behind his back.
Ah, there you are.
Here I am.
Curtsy. Please do come in.
Might I say you look lovely in pink?
Oh, and you look lovely as well. Not in pink, just, you know, in general. Though I'm sure pink would be very becoming.
I'll take that as a compliment. I trust the accommodations are to your liking.
Oh, yes, they're top drawer.
Yes. But is there a problem with the sofa?
No. No, not at all.
You seem to keep staring at it.
Oh, well, I have a lazy eye.
Oh.
Yes. Not all the time, just when I get fatigued.
Perhaps it's not to your taste or not comfortable enough.
Oh, no. No, it's very comfortable. Very comfortable indeed. In fact, I took a nap on it. Slept like a log.
A log?
Yes, dear. A royal log. It's an expression we have in Montanaro.
A royal log? It's very quaint.
Oh, well, we're a quaint little country. But I don't want to keep you from Spain.
Oh, well, yes, I suppose I should be heading off.
Yes, off you go. Oh, and do tell your driver to be careful of pedestrians and other road hazards.
Road hazards?
Stacy shuts the door in the prince's face with a deep sigh of relief.
You were brilliant. I don't know about brilliant. Well, I do. With Edward away to stuffy old meetings, all you need to do is stick to chatting about the weather. If you say so. Okay, now there is a sightseeing schedule in the back pocket of those jeans. All you need to do is follow it for the next 2 days. Right. Well, I suppose it's time.
Mrs. Donatelli hands Margaret Stacy's baseball cap, bag, coat, and scarf.
Well, good luck. You too. And thank you. From the bottom of my heart.
Stacy extends her hand, but Margaret hugs her instead. A look of excitement on her face, Lady Margaret leaves out of the heavy door. Stacy and Mrs. Donatelli smile at each other. Stacy's red rental car pulls up outside of her accommodation with Margaret at the wheel. She peeks in through a frosted window and sees dark-haired Kevin cheerfully hanging the stockings onto the fireplace mantelpiece. She takes a nervous breath and makes for the door.
Hey.
Hey.
Olivia thought you got lost.
She went to bed an hour ago.
Oh, just taking in the sights.
Oh.
And there are a lot of sights to see.
So, you get the apron?
Apron. Right, the apron with the stain. Nope. Couldn't find one that fits.
Stace, aprons are one size fits all.
Right. What I mean is I couldn't find one that fits my personality.
Is it a haircut?
Yes. Yep. Sure did.
Just out of the blue?
Yep.
I've known you 12 years. You do not do out of the blue.
There's a first time for everything. Well, it's getting late. I better catch some Z's. Good night.
Good night. Catch some Z's?
At the chateau.
Does Lady Margaret really wear this to sleep?
If you mean, does she wear a proper nightgown to bed instead of feety pajamas, then the answer is yes.
So, I guess it's just you and me for the next 2 days.
Indeed.
Have you worked with the Duchess for a long time?
Since she was a little girl.
And you're okay with us trading places?
Well, the Duchess has always been rather spontaneous. And it's not my place to have an opinion.
But you have one anyway.
The dear girl has been through so much already, losing both her parents so young And now all the responsibility of becoming a royal when she doesn't even really know who she is. The truth is, I would do anything for her, which means that for the next 2 days, I will do anything for you. So, should I bring you a fresh pot of tea?
Oh, no thanks. I think I'll be fine.
Yes. I believe you will be.
Mrs. Donatelli, her red hair tied back in a tight French twist, leaves the room. Dressed in a champagne-colored silk dressing gown, Stacy discovers Margaret's closet. Designer shoes, handbags, and jewelry displayed on the red velvet shelves of a gilded shelf unit. She picks up an elaborate navy and ivory-colored hat and ornate bow at its front. She takes it to a mirror and places it on her head.
Hello, darling. Mrs. Donatelli?
Hat still on her head, she hurries to the door of the apartment.
I'm coming. It's you again.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
No, not at all. Mrs. Donatelli went to fetch some tea. And in Montanaro, it's the custom to always wear a hat to tea.
Even in one's nightgown?
Yes, yes. There can be no exceptions, substitutions, or exchanges.
Excuse me?
Our code of etiquette was drafted by a rather fastidious attorney. Is there something I can do for you?
Yes. I just wanted to say, I hope you understand that I wish I could rearrange my schedule. I hate to leave at such short notice.
I completely understand. Schedules are important to keep things organized.
I couldn't agree more.
A goal without a plan is...
just a wish. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry.
The Little Prince. One of my favorites.
Mine too.
Their eyes meet for a fleeting moment.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
Just in time, she remembers to curtsy and he goes. She pulls a self-mocking face and takes off the hat.
Really?
The next morning, the king and queen are sitting at the breakfast table.
So much to do and so little time to do it. Please join us, dear.
Your Majesty.
Stacy curtsies deeply. Dressed in a peach-colored dress with a pink jacket, Stacy moves stiffly towards them, trying her best Duchess smile.
I trust you slept well.
Very well indeed. The weather is particularly splendid today, isn't it?
If one is a fan of frostbite.
I'm so glad to see you, my dear. I've been talking with Chef about the menu for the reception.
What about the menu? Prithee tell.
King George and Queen Caroline give her a quizzical look.
It's the salad course. Chef was thinking about a peanut sauce for salad dressing, but I seem to recall that one of your relatives is allergic. I just can't recall which one.
My mother's side. The Pembrokes. Lord Parsifal?
Didn't he die last spring?
Yes, yes. He did, suddenly. In fact, the dear thing. So, won't have to worry about poor Percy.
You know, I never did like peanuts.
Stacy chokes in her teacup.
Well, then we'll find something else. Oh, you're right.
Oh, yes. Just surprised.
I thought you'd be happy to see me.
Oh, of course. Didn't you leave for your meeting with Spain last night?
Edward had the good sense to turn around before he arrived at the airport.
Yes, I thought it wrong to be concerned with affairs of state with our wedding just around the corner, and I'm determined to spend as much time together as we can over the next few days.
How smashing.
And now you can both attend the St. Andrew's Shelter charity ball tonight.
How doubly smashing.
Which reminds me, I have something for you.
A red velvet box containing a diamond-encrusted tiara.
Wow.
I had it made for your engagement present.
Oh.
I hope it's suitable.
It's very suitable.
extremely suitable.
Good.
Well, in the meantime, I've spoken to Miles at the stables, and he'll be ready for us in an hour.
Ready? For us to do what?
Well, I thought a nice ride through the countryside would be a fun surprise for you this morning.
Oh. Isn't it too cold to go riding?
I thought you said you love the cold air.
I do. I do. But I'm worried about the horses.
The horses live in the stables. They're used to the cold.
Well, of course they are. Here, but not in Montanaro. It's much warmer back home.
I thought you had a terrible snowstorm last winter.
Oh, it did. Terrible. Dreadful, really. But we have heated stables.
Ah, well. How very nice for the horses.
Yes, well, you know what they say. A warm horse is a happy horse, and there's nothing better than a happy horse. Well, I better change if we're going riding.
Yes.
Yes, all right.
With a smile and a curtsy, she picks up the gift, turns away from the prince and walks away, her expression becoming tense. Coming down a corridor, her attention on the red box, she nearly walks into King George. With a smooth smile, she curtsies and walks on. The king watches her with a frown, then turns to the royal chauffeur.
Frank, sir. I want you to keep a close eye on the Duchess. She seems, different?
Different.
Meanwhile, Margaret is in the kitchen of Stacy's rented house.
All right, we have our eggs, our pancakes. That should be enough. Breakfast is ready.
She greets Olivia coming down the stairs into the large open-plan kitchen dining room with a smile, then the toast burns.
You never burn anything.
I guess I'm a bit nervous with the big contest coming up.
Maybe we should eat out.
Splendid.
Splendid?
Splendidly super.
Stacy, what did you do to your hair?
Oh, I got a trim. Thought I'd mix things up a little.
Are you feeling okay?
Super. Will your father be joining us?
Father went out to get that saute pan, and he said he'd pick you up a new apron.
Super duper. So, where should we go?
There was a place right on the square.
Right. The square.
Where we bought the Christmas tree, remember?
Right, the Christmas tree.
Tell you what, you get the coats and I'll wash the dishes. Deal?
Deal.
Secret handshake?
Margaret starts off with the wrong hand and tries to improvise.
Oh.
Hey.
Olivia's smile fades as she watches Margaret go upstairs. Meanwhile, in the hallway of the palace, Stacy calls Margaret.
Stacy, phone!
Olivia crosses to the round dining room table and picks up the buzzing cell phone. The caller ID reads, Stacy. Olivia looks suspiciously towards the staircase.
Oh, come on, Margaret, pick up.
Frank creeps up behind Stacy.
Was your Grace having difficulty with her mobile telephone?
Oh, no, it's nothing. Just a dropped signal.
Would you like to borrow mine?
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to impose.
Oh, it's no imposition.
The Duchess is quite capable of placing her own calls, Mr. DeLuca.
I was just trying to be of service.
Well, then you may take these to the laundry.
The basket of linen.
It's that way.
Dwarfed by tall Mrs. Donatelli, Frank walks off with the wicker basket, smirking and muttering under his breath. As they move off in the opposite direction, the women give each other a conspiratorial look. Edward, in immaculate riding gear, is in a candlelit equestrian area next to two saddled horses, held in place by two stable hands. As Stacy, dressed in a black riding helmet, a red scarf around her neck, and a coquettish smile on her face, strides towards the arena, Edward watches her with growing admiration.
Shall we?
We shall.
Good.
As Edward mounts his steed, Stacy sighs with apprehension.
Is there a problem?
Not at all. It's just the horses in Montanaro are a bit shorter, like large ponies, but no problem. None in the least. Here we go.
She pushes up onto the horse and promptly falls over the saddle and onto the sandy ground.
Are you all right? Mm-hmm. I thought you said you were a competitive rider.
Oh, I'm quite competitive indeed. It's the pans. They must have shrunk in the royal wash.
Huh. She does some lunges and squats.
Oh, I wouldn't want to split a seam. All right. There we go.
You know, we really don't have to do this.
Oh, no. We are scheduled to go riding, so that's what we're going to do.
Well, let me give you a hand.
All right.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Right. Better?
Much.
Good. Okay. Right.
All right. Oh.
Frank, watching from high up on the balcony of the arena, turns away, his face rigid with a suspicious expression. Edward and Stacy trot side by side to the top of a hill, light snow falling on the already snow-covered ground.
Here, let me help you.
I'm quite all right.
Well, just in case.
He helps her dismount.
You have something in your eye.
He carefully removes the something. They are standing very close together between their horses, looking into each other's faces.
You know, this really is quite breathtaking.
Yes. Yes, it is. Mm. I come here when I need to get away.
Do you need to get away a lot?
Sometimes the affairs of state can be a burden.
Burdens usually aren't so bad when you have someone to share them with.
I doubt you'd be interested in the details of foreign trade.
Why not?
No, because you shouldn't have to worry about that sort of thing.
Because I'm not bright enough.
No, because you have a wedding to plan.
Oh, so I should stick to things like polishing my tiara.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
Oh, I think it's precisely what you meant. You know, excuse me, Richelli. I think it's time to head back.
No. Oh, Margaret.
She climbs into the saddle with ease, and with a cool smile, she rides off, leaving Edward sighing with disappointment. In a cafe in the village square.
Hello.
Oh, boy, am I glad you picked up.
I was going to call you.
There's been a bit of a snag at this end.
What happened?
Margaret passes the cell phone to Olivia.
Hey there, princess.
Oh, you figured us out.
Well, in rocket science.
You okay with this, love?
Are you kidding? I get to hang with royalty. And Margaret told me all about that ballet scholarship. And that's so totally cool.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're all right. Let me talk to Margaret.
Olivia passes the cell phone back.
We're getting on fabulously.
Well, that's great, because things are not fabulous here.
Why not?
Edward is back.
Get out.
I'm not kidding.
But he's supposed to be here.
Never mind where he's supposed to be. The fact is, he came back to spend time with you. With me.
With,
I don't know, us? Oh, and you didn't tell me about the charity thing tonight.
Didn't I?
No, you didn't.
I suppose it must have slipped my mind.
Well, you need to get back here pronto.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
Why not?
With all
the preparations for the ball, there's no possible way I could sneak in without someone seeing.
Besides, it sounds like you're getting on famously. I vaulted over a horse.
If Edward hasn't found out yet,
we're in the clear.
I don't know if I can keep this up.
Oh, I must run. Ask Mrs. Donatelli for anything you need.
Toodles. Wait.
Stacy plops down the phone, and Kevin comes into the cafe.
Ah, I got the apron and a sauté pan.
Super.
You girls decided to eat out.
Stacy's decided she's going to be spontaneous from now on.
I'll believe that when I see it.
I mean it.
Okay, then let's forget about that schedule of yours and just hang out.
Super.
You sure about that?
She rips up the schedule, letting it rain down onto the cafe table. Kevin and Olivia high five. Frank walks purposefully down a hallway, slowing down outside of Lady Margaret's door, which is ajar, spying Stacy reclined on a sofa, arm over her face.
May I help you?
The prince would like to see the Duchess in the portrait library.
I'll be sure to let her know. Oh, Mr. De Luca.
Ms. Donatelli.
These need to go to the kitchen.
Being handed a tray of dirty dishes, Frank grins grimly and he leaves with the tray. A snow-dusted statue of Santa Claus stands tall in the market square that's busy with Christmas shoppers and excited children. Kevin, Olivia, and Margaret are sat at a stall painting plastic tree bubbles.
What do you think?
It's pretty.
Let me see. Oh, gorgeous.
Kevin shows his bubble.
Huh?
And what's that supposed to be?
Rudolph.
Rudolph the blood-sucking reindeer?
Okay, smarty pants. Let me see yours.
She's painted a heart.
Christmas should be about love.
I've never seen you so sentimental.
Well, maybe you don't know me that well.
Look, it's Santa!
Oh, go for it. I'll wait for these to dry.
Come on.
Okay.
The stocking seller comes up behind Kevin.
Does the heart good to see two people in love?
With me? With her?
Looks like a match made in heaven to me.
We're just friends. I mean, she's not my type.
I wouldn't be so sure.
With a knowing smile and a pat on Kevin's shoulder, the smiling gentleman walks away, leaving Kevin looking intrigued. Later, he is with Olivia and Margaret at the front of the line to see Santa.
Hello. And what would you like for Christmas?
Let me see. A new pair of ballet slippers, a skateboard, and... Oh, yeah, a new mom.
Kevin chokes on his coffee.
I'll see what I can do. Smile for the camera.
Wait, let's all get in the picture.
Oh, yes.
Kevin and Margaret stand on either side of Olivia and Santa and pose for the camera. At the palace, Edward is standing on an upper balcony looking up at a portrait of a woman wearing a tiara. Stacy, in a sleeveless, knee-length beaded black dress, joins him, and they both face the portrait.
She's very regal.
That's my grandmother.
Her necklace. Is that a family crest?
It's been passed down from generation to generation for over 300 years.
It's a lot of generations.
Granny was a bit of a rebel. She had an opinion on everything and wasn't afraid to let everyone know what it was. The palace wasn't used to it.
She sounds like she was ahead of her time.
The palace could use someone like her again.
She turns to face him.
So, you wanted to see me?
Yes, I did. I believe I need to apologize.
You believe you need to apologize? You're not certain?
No, actually, I know I do. Apologies are important. The truth is, when we're out there on horseback, I was a complete and utter imbecile. You're going to be my wife. And if you have an opinion on a matter of state, well, I'd like to hear what it is.
Apology accepted.
Glad to hear it. Margaret, I know how difficult this must be for you. We hardly know each other, but I want to make this marriage work. We have a duty to make it work.
Precisely.
As she turns back to face the portrait, Edward gives her a sideways glance.
You know, there's something about you, something I hadn't really noticed before. I can't quite put my finger on it.
She eyes him warily.
Like my interest in foreign policy.
Let's go with that.
If that's all?
Yes, that's all. Oh, please, you don't need to curtsy.
His gaze lingers on her as she walks away. Now wearing Christmas dealy boppers, Margaret, Kevin, and Olivia applaud some carolers.
I've never been to a sing-along before.
I thought you went last year with Paul.
Yeah, Paul. I almost forgot about Paul.
Good old Paul, the man who broke your heart.
Right. Well, I think it's time for me to get over Paul.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Camera annihilation!
Okay.
Olivia starts a snowball fight. Kevin is pummeled with snowballs. Kevin throws a snowball that knocks Margaret back against a snowy slope. She pulls him on top of her, Olivia watching them in delight. Kevin rolls off Margaret and lays his head on the snow. Later that evening, guests walk up a path to the floodlit palace. Lavishly dressed people mill about in a grand ballroom. Standing next to Frank, Edward, in an immaculate tuxedo, stands on the landing of an imposing staircase. He turns, his eyes transfixed, as Stacy appears at the top of the stairs, dressed in a figure-hugging satin crimson strapless ball gown with delicate gold thread embroidery on the bodice, the gifted diamond tiara on her head, on her arms long red gloves, on her face a radiant smile. Gracefully, she descends the upper flight of stairs, followed by Mrs. Donatelli.
You look...
Thank you. And you look.
Thank you.
Shall we?
We shall.
He offers her his arm, and the couple descends the main staircase, with Donatelli and Frank behind them.
Wait. Your tie.
She straightens it.
There you go.
Two palace maids look down at them, giggling.
So amusing.
You and your ladyship seem to have stopped under the mistletoe.
They both look up.
Ah. A silly tradition.
Well, we can't disappoint them.
She stands on tiptoe to try to kiss his cheek. He obliges her by bending his knees. Now she takes his arm and they walk down the stairs.
The Duchess is a strong-minded woman.
Just what the prince needs.
Smiling at each other, they cross the spacious entrance hall and Stacy gives a deep curtsy to the king and queen.
Your Majesty.
Oh, you look stunning, my dear.
Thank you.
You've outdone yourself again this year, Mother. The people of St. Andrews will be thrilled.
How many families actually live in this shelter?
I don't know exactly. Quite a few.
Is there a full-time staff there, or just volunteers?
We don't concern ourselves with the details. We have people for that.
Of course. Of course. I didn't...
I have an idea.
Yes.
How about you play something for us?
No, I'm very rusty.
Nonsense. I hear you're quite gifted.
Oh.
Who would like to hear the Duchess play?
You can't say no.
Edward takes her gloved hand and leads her to a grand piano. She sits on the piano stool and all the guests gather around and their majesties look on in anticipation.
Stage fright?
Something like that.
How about we play a duet? Carol of the Bells. You play the bells, I'll play the rest.
Well, I don't know the chords.
Well, they're simple. It's these four notes.
Edward takes her hand, placing it on the keys. His hand rests on hers as she practices.
Right.
The king and queen smile at each other. Seen from above, guests gently sway with the music. Mrs. Donatelli looks over to Frank, the butler, who wryly returns her gaze. Edward stakes his arm behind Stacy to play the final bass note.
Bravo!
They rise from the piano. Edward takes Stacy's right hand, lifting and then kissing it, gazing into each other's eyes. Stacy's eyes shine. She catches her breath, smiling shyly as Edward leads her across to their majesties.
Wasn't she wonderful?
In the grounds of the chateau, lit by a multitude of fairy lights, Stacy steps into a snow-covered gauze curtain gazebo, draped all over with strings of twinkling white fairy lights. Coming into the middle of the gazebo, she twists her red-gloved hands, looking around at the splendor of her surroundings, an uncertain look on her face. Edward comes out of the ballroom and addresses a white-gloved, black-suited footman who is identical to the twinkle-eyed, white-haired gentleman.
Have you seen the Duchess?
I believe I saw her ladyship in the gazebo.
Ah, thank you.
May I just say, sir, the two of you make a fine couple.
It's very kind of you.
The old man watching the departing prince smiles knowingly. Edward finds Stacy sitting in the gazebo, her gaze downcast.
Been looking for you.
Edward, I hope you know I didn't mean to offend your parents by asking about the shelter.
You didn't offend anyone.
Maybe it'd be better if I didn't say anything at all.
Well, that'd be dreadfully dull. In fact, I've arranged a carriage ride first thing in the morning, just the two of us, so you can spend more time talking and I can spend more time listening.
I don't think that's a very good idea.
Oh, I think it's a fabulous idea.
And speaking of fabulous ideas, they'll be expecting us to have the first dance.
Oh, dear. I'm not very good at dancing.
Well, you know what they say. Practice makes perfect.
Here.
Why not?
He holds out his hand to Stacy. She stands up and he leads her to the center of the gazebo. Their eyes locked on each other, they begin to waltz. Her smile broadens as he lightly twirls her around under an arm. Gazing deeply into each other's eyes, they come to a graceful stop. Later, Stacy and Margaret are on the phone.
So then what happened?
We were soaked to the skin. Kevin can be so immature.
He's very endearing.
Kevin is like a puppy. If you're nice to him, he'll follow you anywhere.
We're going sightseeing tomorrow.
To see the St. Nicholas Fountain.
Wait, but that wasn't in the schedule.
Well, we threw out the schedule.
Why would you throw out the schedule?
Yes?
Kevin, bare-chested.
Hey, I forgot my toothpaste. Can I borrow yours?
She stares agape.
Sure.
Where is it?
He looks back at her, his eyebrows raised.
Everything okay?
Yep. I'm great.
Good night.
Good night.
Margaret's eyes shine.
Have you ever seen Kevin with his shirt off?
Ew, Kevin? No. But Edward. Edward looks so good in a tuxedo.
Well, Edward was born in a tuxedo.
So you and Kevin aren't an item?
No.
There hasn't been anyone in his life since Olivia's mom left.
Why do you want to know?
Just curious. Well, keep calm and carry on.
You too.
Margaret's mouth drops into an O as she looks back to where Kevin just stood with his toned torso.
Quite hot.
Smiling, Stacy drops her phone, rolls over on her back, and gives a deep sigh. The next morning, wearing a plum coat and a pink beret, she comes out of the palace entrance, flanked by two guards, and she waits. A horse-drawn carriage adorned with Christmas baubles pulls up. Edward climbs out.
Milady?
He offers her his hand, helps her into the carriage, then sits down next to her.
Off we go.
The carriage makes its way along a snowy forest.
So, now that I have you alone, you can tell me the truth.
About what?
Anything and everything. But how about we start with what you think about the charity work we're doing with St. Andrews?
St. Andrews, of course. Well, if I'm being honest, having a ball to raise money is a wonderful thing to do. But you really need to be more involved.
How?
Schedule a day to visit the shelter. Get to know the people.
It's never been done before.
Which means it needs to be done sooner than later.
You sound like my grandmother.
I'll take that as a compliment.
A smile plays on Edward's lips as they ride on. Later, an aerial view of a pine forest blanketed in snow and the forecourt of the St. Andrew's shelter.
He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle.
The shelter matron.
Isn't she wonderful, reading to the children like that?
The Duchess is very special.
And I heard him exclaim as he rose out of sight, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
A girl around 7 years old sat at the front of the group of children raises her hand.
Yes. Is it true you're really a princess?
Oh, not yet. But I will be after I marry Prince Edward.
Are you in love with him?
Very much.
I wish I could be a princess.
Well, the most important thing about being a princess is caring about other people. And if you do that, then you're a princess in your heart.
Can we all please say thank you, Lady Margaret, for her time here today?
Thank you, Lady Margaret!
Oh, you're very welcome.
Is that your Christmas tree?
Yes, yes, it is.
Where are the presents?
We don't have the budget for presents.
What about the money from the ball?
It is earmarked for the essentials. Food, clothes.
So the children don't get any toys?
Toys are in short supply. But we usually manage to find a wee little something to pop in their stockings on Christmas morning.
Frank and Mrs. Donatelli are standing by the royal car as Stacy and Edward come out of the building.
I trust it was a good visit?
It was very educational. The families here don't have a real Christmas tree or presents for the children.
Unless we do the shopping, and the wrapping, and the baking.
You and I.
Why not?
You've already made the proper gesture, Your Grace.
A gesture isn't what Christmas is about. We have the afternoon free.
Well, it's a very ambitious undertaking.
Stacy beams encouragingly at him.
So I suppose we better get right to it.
Stacy hugs him in delight.
Sorry. That wasn't very dignified.
It's all right. I liked it, actually. Frank, the nearest toy emporium on the double.
A toy emporium.
Frederick's. On Palmetto Road, Your Majesty.
Frederick's.
Kevin, Olivia, and Margaret come down a street towards Frederick's toy store.
Palmetto Road. According to the guidebook, the fountain is right up ahead.
Can I get a candy cane?
Yeah. There you go. Knock yourself out.
Olivia runs ahead to a candy stall.
You know, there is a legend that says the St. Nicholas fountain never freezes because of the warmth of the Christmas spirit.
I'm guessing there's an underground spring.
Well, I like the legend better.
You know what? So do I. Excuse me. Are you Stacy DeNova?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Adam Delaney, Food Insider magazine. I heard about your bakery in Chicago. I'd love to do a feature on you.
Hello, Brianna Michaels. I won the competition last year.
Great. So, the buzz is you're the one to beat this year.
Oh, well, it's not just me. We're a team. This is Kevin, my very talented sous chef.
Kevin, can I get your full name, please?
Yeah, sure. I'm Kevin Richards.
And how long have you been a team?
Sour-faced, red-haired Brianna stalks off. Meanwhile, just down the street, the royal car pulls up outside the toy store, and Frank opens the door for Edward, who helps Stacy out.
Yeah, five. Thank you.
Yeah.
Margaret and Kevin are inside, but neither couple sees each other. Inside the toy store...
Ooh, very nice.
I always wanted one of these. Parents never let me have one.
What's wrong with saving the Earth from an alien invasion?
Well, if you're going to save the Earth from an alien invasion, you should probably do it via diplomacy, not warfare.
Yes.
We'll need about a dozen.
Oh, and a few of these as well. Oh. Edward, look what they have.
Ooh, oh, it's a mat with large coloured circles.
You've never played Twister before.
Oh, it's a game.
Take off your shoes. This instant. Now.
Is the Duchess always been so different?
Tell me, has the Prince always been so ordinary?
You're hiding something. I'm going to find out what it is.
I'm going to be looking for a long, long time.
Shopping cart full to the brim, Frank and Donatella turn a corner and find the couple playing Twister.
Right hand red.
So that's how you do things in Montanaro.
In the street.
That was nice of you to let me do that interview.
Well, you deserve it. Guys, come look. It's a toy store.
I've never been in a toy store.
What?
What she means is she's never been to a Belgravian toy store.
Oh.
Come on.
Lead the way.
Edward and Stacy wheel their full cart to the checkout.
All right.
Stacy stiffens as Margaret and Olivia come into the store. Margaret's eyes widen as she spots Stacy. Margaret and Olivia turn on their heels.
Excuse me?
My earring from Aunt Louise. It's gone.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe look over there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I changed my mind.
Let's go see Santa.
Yeah.
We just saw Santa.
Yeah, but he and I didn't go deep.
Mrs. Donatelli spots Margaret.
Oh my goodness. I feel so, so faint.
First you want to go shopping, now you want to see Santa. What's going on with you? Come on, Liv. Spill.
Excuse me. Sorry to be a bother. My car's run out of petrol.
Oh.
The station's down the street, but I can't push it myself. Think you could give an old man a hand?
Of course we can.
Frank fans Mrs. Donatelli.
Wait a second, I know you. On a square in town, you have one of those booths.
Closed early today. Rheumatism's acting up. The car's right outside.
Great. Let's go.
Okay.
As Olivia pushes Kevin out of the door, Stacy watches them leave. Then she crouches on the floor.
Oh, wait. I see it. Here it is.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Close one.
Right.
Cool down. There you go.
Yes. Oh, there we go. Fine. I feel much better now. It's fine.
At the palace, Edward, with his jacket off, is inexpertly wrapping one of the space guns. Stacy strolls in with a tray of gingerbread cookies.
Here, try this.
Where did a duchess learn to bake like this?
My father.
Your father? The Grand Duke of Montenegro baked cookies?
Best cookies in the world.
You miss him, don't you?
I'm generally not the sentimental type, but doing things like this helps keep a piece of the...
The Queen, listening in at the door, smiles softly.
I used to love the smell of turkey roasting at Christmas.
Mm.
I think my cousins were coming over to play. That was a long time ago.
It's still all right to play sometimes.
Not so sure about that.
Well, I am.
Right.
Here. Huh? Hang on. Ah. I think there's a couple more.
Oh. I wrapped that one.
Your Highness wrapped the presents himself. Really?
Oh, a few, with a little help.
Well, taking the time to wrap a gift is part of the gift itself. That's what we say in Montanaro, anyway.
But it's not very dignified for a royal.
It's always dignified to be kind, Frank.
Right, shall we?
Yes!
Their Majesties watch from an upstairs window.
Do you see what's going on out there?
I do.
I don't like it. There's something about that girl.
George, she's a breath of fresh air. And it seems your son is falling in love with her.
Yes. Well, I suppose that's all that matters.
You know that's all that matters.
The king kisses the queen's hand.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
A huge Christmas tree is surrounded by presents in the shelter families. Edward is sat playing an upright piano, Tracy on one side of him and Mrs. McBride, the shelter manager, on the other.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Frank, wearing a fixed smile, doesn't clap, but he raises his hands up in surrender as one of the shelter children blasts him with a space gun.
I've always wanted one of these.
Good. We need someone to defend our galaxy.
When diplomacy fails...
Look, I really am a princess.
Oh, Your Majesty.
The girl has a tiara and scepter.
Your Royal Highness and Lady Margaret have given us so much this Christmas.
Well, it was all the Duchess's idea.
Well, it was a very gracious gesture.
You know, that's just it. Christmas is about more than just a gesture.
Which is why I've decided that Lady Margaret and I are going to make it a tradition to come here once a month and get to know you all.
Frank reluctantly joins in with the applause.
That's wonderful.
Excuse me? You're standing under the mistletoe.
Oh, so we are.
They look into each other's eyes and then kiss on the lips. Frank's eyebrows raise.
Yes, my favourite. Come on, Frank.
It's not really my job description, sir.
Oh, it is now. Come on.
Meanwhile, in the rental chalet...
Oh, that was the best spaghetti I've ever had.
Since you're doing the heavy lifting at the competition tomorrow, I figured it's the least I could do.
So, are we going out tonight?
Oh.
You're going to bed. Mm. We have an early start tomorrow. We got to be at Wembley by 8.
But...
Pajamas, now.
Can Stacy tuck me in?
Sure.
Olivia skips to the stairs.
She never runs out of energy, does she?
Her mom was like that.
Do you miss her mother?
You know me better than that, Stace. Karen and I weren't meant to be. Like you and Paul.
Well, you're right. We weren't.
Olivia slips under the duvet.
So, I guess you're leaving tonight.
I don't have a choice.
I wish you could stay.
I wish I could too. But you'll have Stacy back, and I must get on with my duty.
Which means you have to do things even if you don't want to do them?
Something like that.
That's not fair.
It's complicated. But I'll never forget you and your father. You'll always be special to me.
But you're meant to be here.
I'm afraid I don't get to decide things like that.
You should.
Margaret smiles weakly in the face of Olivia's insistent gaze. Downstairs, Kevin is pouring tea in front of the fire. He hands her a mug, and they both sit down on the couch.
You know, I think this trip has done you a lot of good.
You do?
I mean, it's almost like you're not the same person.
Please.
No, I mean it. There's just something less intense about you.
I don't know. Just being here, making Christmas ornaments, singing carols. I mean, all those little moments with you. It's what life's really about.
That is the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
That's true.
So, want to watch a Christmas movie?
Sure.
Which one?
The one with Santa.
Stace, they all got Santa.
Right, then you choose.
He clicks on the Christmas print.
This one.
Ooh, your favorite?
No, it's your favorite.
Right. I was just messing with you.
I'll pop the corn. Mm-hmm.
Kevin hands her the remote and Margaret smiles to herself as he goes to the kitchen. Back at the palace.
I've learned so much from you.
Like how to bake cookies and wrap presents.
Like how to understand people and how to reach out to them.
You have a good heart, Edward. You're going to do just fine.
As long as you're here to help me.
Well, I suppose it's time to turn in.
I wanted to give you something. Didn't have time to wrap it, but hope for the best.
She opens a small red velvet box, finding a delicate pendant inside.
Veritas, honoris, amare.
Truth, honor, and love. The family crest.
The one from the painting. It belonged to your grandmother.
Margaret, if I'm being truthful, I was worried about us, about the wedding, about not knowing who you are. But after today, I'm not worried anymore.
You really are Prince Charming.
Her eyes glistening, she leans in and kisses him.
Did I do something wrong?
No. No. You did everything right.
And I'll see you in the morning.
You will see your Duchess in the morning.
Close to tears, Stacy quickly comes into her room. Now the tears roll down her cheeks as she leans against the door. At the chalet, Margaret brings a tissue to her tearful eyes.
There is nothing like a happy ending to make someone cry.
Endings usually aren't very happy.
Hey, what is it, Stace?
I don't know. Just feeling sentimental again. Must be the movie.
Well, speaking of sentimental, don't kill me. But I got you a little something.
But it's not Christmas yet.
It's not for Christmas.
Then what's it for?
Cinder stocking.
She crosses to the mantle and finds a gold locket on a chain.
Open it.
She opens a small golden square locket and finds a picture of Santa inside it.
What'd you think?
It's the most beautiful gift I've ever received. Thank you so much.
May I? Heck, I know we've been friends for so long.
He fastens the locket around her neck.
But these last few days, I feel like it could be more. At least, to me. I think you felt it too.
Their lips come together in front of the fireplace.
Something wrong?
No.
Yes.
I mean, it's me. I should not have done that.
It's okay.
No, it's not. Can we just pretend this never happened?
Why?
Please. You just have to trust me on this.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you say.
Thank you.
She kisses his cheek.
Good night.
Good night.
Left at the fireplace, Kevin gulps and lets out a deep sigh, letting his head drop forward. In the dimly lit competition area, a figure dressed head to toe in black moves past a baking station with a pair of wire cutters. After snipping the electrical cable of the mixer, the figure in black is revealed as Brianna, smiling smugly as she leaves the arena, casually tossing the end of the cable into the air. At the stroke of midnight, Stacy, wearing the champagne silk pajamas, sits on a seat at the foot of the four-poster bed. She goes to the door. Margaret is at the door with Mrs. Donatelli.
I will be right outside.
Thank you.
Mrs. Donatelli shuts the door with a look of apprehension.
So, did you get to do everything you wanted?
Almost. And you and Edward got on all right?
Yeah. Everything's set for your wedding.
Splendid. You know, Edward's really special. He's thoughtful, he's kind.
Your friend Kevin's the real prince.
No, Kevin's just Kevin.
He's one in a million.
No, Edward is the one who...
You're in love with Edward. And you're in love with Kevin. Oh.
Well, this wasn't supposed to happen.
No, it wasn't.
So, what do we do?
Nothing. You go back to being the Duchess, and I hop on a plane back to Chicago as soon as the competition's over.
With a look of resignation, Margaret nods at Stacy, who nods back.
I believe this belongs to you.
Margaret hands the Chicago baseball cap back to Stacy. Outside the chateau, Frank's head pops out from behind an evergreen tree. He photographs both ladies, then pulls back from the lens, surprised. Lens back up, Frank unwittingly edges towards the balcony. Frank lands safely on his back like a snow angel. He sits up triumphant as he checks his digital pictures. Then he winces and falls back down. Back at the chalet, Stacy flips a perfect pancake. Olivia stops at the foot of the stairs and looks across at Stacy.
Is it really you?
It's really me.
Olivia holds out her hand. They do their special hand and foot shake.
It really is you.
What, do you have to sound so disappointed?
No. I'm really glad that you're back. It's just, I really wish Margaret didn't have to go.
And now she has to marry that creepy old prince who probably smells like mothballs.
Okay, first of all, the prince does not smell like mothballs, and he's definitely not creepy.
Then what was he?
Dreamy. Sweet. Funny.
Sounds like someone's crushing big time on Prince Mothballs.
Look, all I know is we have got a big competition today, which means we need to focus, okay?
At the palace, Frank, carrying a large manila envelope, strides purposefully across the landing towards the door of the Queen's apartment. He waits with a look of smug self-importance.
Yes?
I have urgent business with the King. Anything that concerns the king concerns me as well.
Well, it's a very delicate matter. I really should speak to His Royal Highness directly.
I see.
It would be such a shame to lose one's job right before Christmas, wouldn't it?
But...
Hand me the envelope, Frank.
But it's...
Or would you prefer to hand in your resignation?
No. No. Your Majesty.
Oh, and Frank, there seems to be a plumbing problem in the privy next to the study. Would you mind taking a look?
It would be my great honour, Your Majesty.
His fake smile shrivels as he turns to go. Wearing her champagne robe, Lady Margaret is sitting at her vanity, looking down at the locket Kevin gave her, then in the mirror.
Your bath is ready, Your Grace.
Thank you.
Forgive me for speaking plainly, but that doesn't sound like a very happy bride-to-be.
My happiness isn't what matters. It's my duty.
Oh, before I forget, Mr. Novo gave me this to give to you. It's a gift from Edward.
It's the red gift box containing the delicate pendant.
Veritas, honoris, amare. Truth, honor, and love.
Funny thing, it doesn't say a word about duty.
Mrs. Donatelli leaves Margaret, deep in thought, as she studies her own reflection in the mirror. Flicking through Frank's pictures of the two identical women, the queen, dressed in a rich purple cloak, walks past a groundsman sweeping the path in front of the palace.
Remarkable. A remarkable resemblance, wouldn't you say?
Apparently she's a baker at the competition in Wembley.
The white-haired gentleman glances at the photos.
Looks like a princess to me.
He tips his flat cap to the queen, and broom in hand, he leaves. Later, at the baking competition...
Ladies and gentlemen, if you could please find your places and make way to your seats. The competition is about to begin.
Olivia is in the audience.
Looks like we're good to go.
Great.
The judges take their seats.
Stace, about last night...
Let's just talk about it on the plane, okay?
Yeah.
Cool.
Good afternoon and welcome to Belgravia's 56th Annual International Christmas Baking Competition. The finest bakers from around the world will have 5 hours to prepare the most spectacular Christmas cake. Only one will be crowned winner. And the competition begins now.
The bakers gather their ingredients. At the palace, Margaret comes in to breakfast.
Darling.
And how is the blushing bride-to-be?
Very well, Your Majesty.
Edward has been telling us about your adventure at the shelter yesterday.
I understand you made a lot of people very happy.
She was magnificent. A born leader.
I must say, I'm very impressed.
Oh, thank you, Your Highness. Do you know, I'm feeling a bit under the weather.
Well, that was nothing serious.
Oh, no, it was just a bit of fatigue. Edward, would you be a dove and take my place with Margaret at the baking competition today? I'm supposed to be handing out some ribbons and such, and I don't think I have the strength.
Oh, well, yes, we'd be glad to.
Something wrong, my dear?
Margaret fans herself.
I don't know if we have the time.
Of course we have the time.
But the wedding...
I would imagine the staff has everything under control.
Will you excuse me for a moment?
The queen gives her husband a look. At the competition, Kevin is busy rolling out a sheet of red marzipan. At the next-door baking station, Brianna hisses at her sous chef.
We're gold. We're sparkles. This isn't a funeral. It's Christmas.
Kevin and Stacy exchange a look at Brianna's impatient outburst.
We're gonna need more poinsettias.
I'm on it. Those layers cool yet?
Needs 5 more minutes. I'm gonna start on the filling.
Yeah.
Stacy holds up the cut cable.
Kevin? How am I supposed to puree the berries?
You're gonna have to do it by hand.
They look accusingly across at Brianna and her partner, who quickly avert their eyes.
Okay. Now we're good.
Sitting on a green bench, Margaret is looking at the pendant.
I've been looking all over for you.
I needed some fresh air.
Well, I was worried about you.
Edward places his hand on hers.
Please don't.
Look, Margaret, I don't know what's wrong, but whatever it is, if you don't want to hand out a bunch of silly ribbons, just say so. We don't have to.
No, we have to go. But there's something I need to tell you first.
Sounds serious.
Oh, it is. It's about truth and honor. But mostly it's about love.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Time is up!
Kevin and Stacy high five and give a beaming thumbs up to Olivia in front of their majestic green and red Christmas cake and give Brianna and her partner a casual shrug.
Frank, we need to get to Wembley on the double.
Mrs. Donatelli waits for the Prince and the Duchess to get into the royal car.
Now this should be interesting.
Oh, shut it, Frank.
It's an incredible presentation. And your sugar work is commendable.
Thank you, Judge.
The filling is interesting. The puree isn't as smooth as I'd hoped, but it has a wonderful flavor.
Nicely done.
As their carousel cake is sampled, Kevin and Stacy give a satisfied nod. Outside, the security barrier at Wembley Film Studio is raised as the royal car drives through and the judges hand the presenter a slip of paper.
The judges have reached a decision. In third place is Zachary Brackman of Munich, Germany. Well done, Zachary. In second place is...
Kevin gives Stacy a supportive hug as they wait with bated breath.
Is Brianna Michaels of Beverly Hills, USA. Well done, Brianna.
Okay, who's next?
Brianna looks sourly at her partner and Stacy crosses her fingers.
And in first place, the winner of the 56th Annual International Christmas Baking Competition is... Stacy DeNovo of Chicago!
Olivia leaps to her feet. Stacy jumps for joy. Kevin lifts her into the air, just as Edward and Margaret, who's wearing large sunglasses, hurry into the studio.
Since Queen Caroline is unable to attend today's ceremony, presenting the award... is Prince Edward of Belgravia and his fiancée, Duchess Margaret of Montanaro. Now, if the winners would like to please join me on stage for the award ceremony. Thank you.
Who needs a silly medal? I think we should go.
Are you crazy, Stace? This is our moment.
Yeah, but we're gonna be late for the plane, so.
I'm going up there and you're coming with me. Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Prince Edward and Duchess Margaret.
As the royals step forward, Frank smirks at Mrs. Donatelli. Olivia watches heart in mouth as Margaret hands out a ribbon to the German bakers and Stacy hides her face. Brianna steps forward.
And here it goes.
What's going on?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Try me.
I think I can explain.
Margaret takes off her sunglasses.
There's two of you?
No. But we think that we may be related through some great, great someone-in-law.
Cousin Cecil.
Yeah.
I think we need a moment to ourselves.
Maybe let's go backstage.
Perfect.
Yeah. Let's go.
Stacy drags Kevin away from the arena as he gapes open-mouthed at Margaret. Frank turns smugly to Mrs. Donatelli and Olivia waits with bated breath.
Can someone please explain what's going on?
This is my fault.
How's that?
Well, all I wanted to do was to get to know what it was like to be a normal girl, even if it was only for a few days. When I saw Stacy, the idea just came to me.
You two switch places.
Yeah. You've been with Margaret for the past 2 days.
And Stacy has been with the prince.
I'm sorry. I didn't think things would get so complicated.
Complicated's an interesting word for it.
But there's more.
How can there be more?
I like being normal. I hate being in the spotlight. Edward needs a partner who likes taking charge.
who has a good heart. Someone who's meant to be a princess. Someone like Stacy.
Wait, me?
I didn't plan any of this. But I suppose I found out I'm just a normal girl. And normal girls, they fall in love with normal boys. Like you.
But you're not Stacy, you're...
Margaret Delacourt, Duchess of Montanaro.
Aren't you supposed to marry the prince?
I know this is a little confusing, but Lady Margaret's trying to say that she's in love with you.
Margaret's brown eyes gaze into Kevin's face.
Oh.
Kevin grimaces at the prince.
Doesn't that kind of piss you off?
Not at all, actually.
Edward looks intently at Stacy.
Because I'm in love with her. Stacy brings out the best in me.
The way you bring out the best in me.
You're not mad at me? At us?
If all this ends with me getting to be with the woman that I love, then I am very happy. I intend to keep being happy for the rest of my life.
Stacy's teddy bear brown eyes gaze up at Edward, then she shakes her head.
No, Edward, I can't let you do this.
Stacy, wait.
Left alone with Margaret, Kevin's brow is furrowed in confusion.
We need to talk.
How about we do it over a movie and hot chocolate?
It's a date.
Kiss her, Daddy!
Taking a deep breath, Kevin gently cups Margaret's cheek and he pulls her into a long, lingering kiss. Olivia smiles up at Mrs. Donatelli and Frank, who are both now wreathed in smiles.
Stacy, wait, please.
Edward, you can't be in love with me.
Says who?
Well, it isn't right, okay? Things happen according to plan. Life happens according to plan, and this is not the way it was planned.
So you're saying you don't love me?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I love you more than I've ever loved anyone in my whole life.
I'm not giving you up without a fight.
I'm not a duchess or a princess. I'm a baker from Chicago.
You can still be a baker from Chicago. We'll pick up your shop and we'll move it here.
No, you can't do that.
Then you can open up another shop here. You can bake to your heart's content. As long as we're together.
This is crazy.
No, it's not. Don't you understand? Stacy, you're my destiny. This was the plan. We were meant to be together.
You can't really be serious.
Edward takes her right hand and drops to one knee, bringing shock and joy to the faces of Margaret, Olivia, and Kevin.
Stacy DeNova, if you're still in love with me a year from today, will you marry me next Christmas?
I'll marry you.
Yes! Yeah! The happy couple kiss. Margaret and Mrs. Donatelli turn to each other in delight, and Frank pumps his fist in celebration. The competition judges clap at Edward and Stacy locked in each other's arms. They shyly acknowledge the cheers. Even Brianna and her sous chef clap good-naturedly as Stacy and Edward kiss again, with eyes only for each other. The view spins around them, fast-forwarding to a year later as Stacy and Edward, dressed in their regal finery, kiss as husband and wife. Mrs. Donatelli, her red hair wavy and loose to her shoulders, is all smiles. Next to her, Frank is beaming and among the well-wishers. Olivia, in a white flower girl dress, is clapping along with Kevin and the Duchess. The little girl from the shelter trots up to Princess Stacy.
Yes, sweetheart?
You're a real princess now, aren't you?
She is indeed.
I guess Christmas wishes really do come true.
As Stacy and her prince kiss again, the little girl shyly covers her eyes and moves back to Mrs. McBride, the matron.
Aren't you gonna throw the bouquet?
Oh.
Stacy turns her back to the guests and tosses the bouquet behind her. Everyone watches it arc through the air and then land in Lady Margaret's hands. Kevin gives her a wry smile. Frank and Donatelli both chortle, and the prince and princess look delighted.
So, what are you doing New Year's?
Well, I don't have any plans. Why?
You might want to hang on to that.
Margaret pulls Kevin into a kiss. Olivia gives Stacy a thumbs up. Stacy winks back. The twinkle-eyed old gentleman wearing a tuxedo gives a satisfied smile, turns and slips away. The king raises his glass.
A very Merry Christmas to one and to all.
Merry Christmas!
A top-to-toe view of the tall, white and gold frosted wedding cake, decorated with the family crest and two deer with interlocking antlers on the front. Stacy and Edward stand in front of the magnificent edifice with wide smiles as together they slice into the cake. Kevin gives Olivia a warm hug.
Woo!
As Edward kisses his new wife again, their majesties raise their glasses. Mrs. Donatelli and Frank do the same. Kevin gives them a cheery double thumbs up, and Margaret, holding up the bouquet, beams. The happy newlyweds, flushed with joy, turn to face their smiling guests. The picture fades to black. Directed by Mike Rawl.
Get the fire started, it's Christmas.
Written by Robin Bernheim-Berger and Megan Metzger. Executive producer Brad Kervoy. Executive producers Amanda Phillips Atkins, Eric Jarbo, Jimmy Townsend, Robin Bernheim-Berger. Produced by Amy Krell. Directors of photography, Viorel Sergovici and Lulu DeHillerin. Production designer, Soren Dimma. Edited by Charles Norris. Cast: Stacy DeNovo and Lady Margaret, Vanessa Hudgens, Edward, Sam Palladio, Kevin, Nick Sager, Mrs. Donatelli, Sue Ann Braun, Frank, Mark Fleischman, Brianna, Amy Griffiths, Queen Carolyn, Sarah Stewart, King George, Pavel Douglas, Kindly Man, Robin Sowens, Taylor, Calliope Taylor, Judge One, Natali Yuri, Olivia, Alexa Adiosen. Casting by Carolyn McLeod. Music by Terry Furwer. Associate producers Vince Balzano and Carolyn McLeod. Producer Linda L. Miller. A Brad Kervoy production. Additional cast: Mrs. McBride, Joe Cameron Brown, Giselle, Clara Chiobanu, Boy, Oliver Lepidotto, show host, Chris Jarvis, Brianna Souschef, Addy Geo, Santa, Rick Steele, lady customer, Frances Campbell, lady guest, Andrea Moldovianu, reporter Adam, Emmett Anthony Friel, Judge 2, Linda Marshall Miller, Stacy, Margaret Double, Dewey Sargenson. Associate producer Franklin Valetti. First assistant director Ingrid Christia. Audio description provided by BTI Studios London. Written by Veronica Hicks. Voiced by Sarah Borges.
red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.